God's given me a fresh word in the book of Psalm, chapter number 51. Psalm 51, I want to read one verse from the chapter and do my very best to preach what God's laid on our heart for today. And I want to preach on the fact of cleansing. The fact of cleansing. Look at verse number 2, and we'll read that verse. And we'll try our best to do what God's got for us tonight. Psalm 51, verse 2, David's praying, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Now, we broke in, David begins to pray, and he's praying for forgiveness. And not only is he praying for forgiveness, he's praying for cleansing from the sin. And I am thankful, we'll mention this in a moment, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins, then do what? Cleanse us. Amen. From all, see, not only does he forgive me, he cleanses it as though I never did it. Get a hold of that. Now, folks, that doesn't give us a license to sin. If that intrigues your flesh, say, "Well, I have a verse that will enable me to live in sin." Now, boy, I got it. God's people don't want to do that. But anyway, may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I got a little ground to cover, so I'm going to get right into the message. I want to make a blanket statement. God can and will cleanse us. Most of us are aware of this chapter. We have a song or a prayer of repentance. And of course, we're not going to take the time tonight to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, where all of this took place in David's life, where he sinned and he sinned again to cover his sin. And folks, it's never, never right to sin to cover sin. Of course, we know David sinned with Bathsheba, and then he had Uriah, her husband, killed. And then, of course, God dealt with him. And so I do want to say this. I want you to get a hold of this. David is a great example of a good Christian man who simply forgot the end result of sin. Get a hold of that. David is a great example of a good Christian man who simply forgot the end result of sin. What would make anybody do that? A good Christian. Well, my personal opinion is he got to the place of personal victory and he let his guard down. He got to a place of personal victory and he let his guard down. That's why Peter said he was another one that got some type of personal victory and he made a statement, "Yea, Lord, all shall be offended, yet will not I." And then when he said this in the book of Peter, to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to make an application here to God's people. Now, I want y'all to listen to me. Amen. I want y'all to listen to me. So many times, good Christians, get a hold of that, can get caught up in themselves or something they're compassionate about, and what they'll do is, without even seeing the drift, drop a standard that God placed in their life a time ago. Get a hold of that. Hey, listen to me now, listen to me. You young people, listen to me. Anybody with social media, listen to me. You got to be careful not to drop your standard, especially there. Amen. You got to be, because that is a wide open platform. Now, I'm not saying do sin in secret. Don't misunderstand me. But if we're not careful, we'll allow something that we are compassionate about, something that we're involved in, something. And if we're not careful, we will begin to drift. And we'll drop a standard that, and get this, church, not only is that dropping a standard causing you to put your guard down, but it's also hindering the testimony of your church and your pastor. Come on. So we have to be sober and be vigilant because we do have an adversary. So in this chapter, David prays for God to wash him and to cleanse him. Now, I want you to listen to the wordings of things I have here. I'm going to have to stay close to my notes for a moment. Listen to the wording. We that are saved may need to be cleansed of sin. Those that are unsaved need to be cleansed from their sin. Get a hold of that. Folks, the day I got saved, I'm saved eternally. And I'm born again. My position in Christ is perfect. I'm in Christ. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm justified, one day glorified. However, I can allow sin in my life. So those that are saved may need to be cleansed of a sin. Those that are not saved need to be cleansed from sin and be born again. The sin of the saved will hinder their fellowship with God. The sin of the unsaved will send them to hell if they don't get saved. Here we go again. The sin of a believer will rob them of the power with God. The sin of the unsaved will rob them of heaven. The sin of a believer will keep their prayer life or their prayers from being answered. The sin of the unbeliever will keep them from experiencing an eternity with God. You see the difference? I needed cleansing from sin. Sin is what I am. Sins is what we do. I got cleansed from the old man, my sin, the sin I was born in. And when I commit sins, I need to be cleansed from them. Now, I have problems with those that can practice sin and still go and be happy. But anyway, that's a different message. Now, I want to notice some things. Y'all pray for me. I feel like I'm hitting a wall here. Maybe it's just the Lord helping us. The first thing I want to notice about David's cleansing, I want to notice the conception that was painful. If you notice verse number 5, David made a powerful statement. It's true in verse number 5. Behold, now when you see that word behold, you know what God wants you to do? Listen to this. Right. Yep. Pay attention to this. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Notice chapter 9, and you don't have to turn, in chapters 58, verse number 3. Let me read that to you. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Are you listening? They go astray as soon as let me start that over. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. See, our sin nature is our mortal enemy. For the saved, our flesh is constantly at war with our spiritual man. The unsaved, your sin nature will send you to hell if you don't get right with God. Now, I'm going to do some reading tonight in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, verse number 37 through 39, the Bible says this. For their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Hallelujah. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Listen, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. Aren't you glad when justice called, mercy answered?
Amen.
Those are, that's great. We understand exactly who we are. Nobody can come in the house of God where there are no so far up the air. If it rains, you're drowned. All of us. David said it in the text. He said it clearly in chapter 51. He said, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All of us, that's speaking of a natural birth. Years ago, I preached this verse, and I had a man come to the back door and said, I didn't appreciate that. You said something bad about my mother. I said, no. Because I felt like he was fixing to belt me one. I said, that's speaking of the contamination of our first birth. I said, that's not a slight toward anyone's mama. Amen. But the fact remains that our first birth was sinful. So the conception that was painful, our first birth was painful. We were shaped in iniquity, born in sin, born without God, born depraved, born vile, born no count. Why do I need to be cleansed? I'm telling you why. Why do I need to be washed? I'm telling you why. And the fact remains, this is old school preaching, that same nature that we were born with is still there after we get saved. And David is a prime example of keeping our guard up, questioning everything we do. Don't just do it. Bible says, try the spirits to know if they be of God or not. Hey, I don't need a t-shirt or a WWJD, but really, we ought to have a standard. Would Christ be pleased with this?
Amen.
We need to bring ourselves under the obedience of Christ. Christ does not promote flesh. Anything I do that promotes flesh or wants to show the world flesh, God's not in it. God's no part of that. That's flesh. That is of the devil. And we have to be on guard with that. The flesh likes to show off itself. The flesh likes to be bragged on. The flesh likes to be noticed. And folks, God isn't in displaying the flesh in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Amen. You remember the demoniac. He was full of a legion of devils. And I'm not trying to get graphic, but the fact remains is his whole lot in his life was showing off his flesh. What do you mean? Well, we miss this part sometimes in this story. But they bound him and he broke him. You know what he's doing? Showing off his strength. That's what he's doing. He's showing off the flesh. They'd bind him with fetters and chains. Poof. What's happening? Y'all can't bind me. I'm strong. Huh? And then I'll take another step farther. Y'all hang in here. If y'all can't take it, I'm sorry. He tried to show off his not only strength, but his shape. He was running around the tombs naked. Huh? See, the whole thing about this man was he was all about the flesh. And when Jesus passed by, that changed. Jesus saved him and did what? Washed him and cleansed him. And he put his clothes on. And it wasn't about his strength anymore. He humbled himself and he's at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. What do you mean his right mind? He's no longer thinking of himself. He's no longer wanting to make a show of the flesh. He say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I want to get, hey, the closer you get to Christ, hey, the more clothes you'll put on, the more humble you'll get, and the more desirous you'll be to please him. But we have to stay on guard because every one of us in this building tonight is watching tonight. We'll be listening later. We all still have that painful conception of our first birth and our first nature. Got to deal with that. We got to deal with that. Got to be on guard. We got to be sober and vigilant. Because the adversary of the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about. ETH, he never stops walking about. He can't stop because he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. That's why his demonic influences help him. And he also has the assistance of mankind's flesh. I've said this before and I'll say it again tonight. Let's be honest about it. This runs neck and neck with our problem being from Satan or our flesh. A lot of times we'll say, you know, that guy, character, you say the devil made me do it. Most time it's our flesh made us do it. We forgot the end result of sin. We forgot that the Lord has a standard for us. We forgot. We get to a place of personal victory. And I'm going to say this, and y'all know I'm telling it right. What the preacher quits preaching on will start filling up in the pews. Amen. And I'm not against anybody here because I live in the same flesh you do. Now, you may be weak in the flesh in an area, and I may be weak in the flesh in another area. The Bible said to lay aside every weight and the sin, S-I-N, that particular sin which does so easily beset us. Lay it aside so we can do what? Run the Christian race right. We can be effective in the Christian life if we allow these weights that bog us down and the sin which does so easily beset us control our life. We can't run right. We can't run effectively. So we see here, the first thing is notice is the conception that was painful. Now let's take another step. We'll do a little more reading here. Y'all bear with me. Not only we see the conception that was painful, but then we see the confession that was prayerful. Now I want to read to you. I'm going to slow down with my reading. I get so fast that my eyes can't catch up with my mouth or vice versa. I promise y'all I can read. Yeah, I'm looking back there. David, in this text, the confession that was prayerful, David prayed a very detailed and specific prayer as he confessed his sin before God. Let's notice it. Let's start in verse 1. Listen to this. Listen, if you would. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here David's praying now, and he sees the seriousness of being serious about being cleansed from his sin. He gets detailed. And one thing you'll see about David in this repentant psalm or penitent psalm is he is not pointing fingers at his pastor. Nathan the prophet could be a picture of his pastor when he rebuked him of his sin. He didn't get mad at him. Why? Because the Spirit of God that was within him had already showed him, you are guilty. He said, my sin is there before me. And then he repented of that sin. He was sorry for that sin. I'll get to that too in a minute. He confessed that sin. And he saw ultimately, for the first time of his Christian life, that he could not sense the presence of God. He sensed that, we get to a place, David was at that place for whatever length of time it was, he didn't even pay attention to God's presence. Well, I don't think that can happen. Really? Ask Samson when you get to heaven. He revealed the secret of the gift of the Nazarite in his hair, and Delilah shook him and said, the enemy's here, and he jumped up and he didn't even know the Spirit of God. They didn't cut his hair. Didn't even know the power of God left him. Folks, this is how corrupt and how anti-spiritual our flesh is. This is how, I like that. This is how anti-spiritual our flesh is. It'll get you to a place gradually that you don't even realize, I don't have the power of God like I used to. I don't have his presence like I used to. And then you begin to see why, and you've let a standard down. See, even the pastor forgets we flesh and things run smooth around the church a while and he'll lay back on things. Everybody all right? I'm talking about myself now. Y'all can amen, preacher. We know how you are. And then the Lord will show you, hey, flesh is still flesh. Come on. The shepherd's main responsibility was to feed the sheep. But time come by when he had to shear them. He fed more than he sheared, but shearing time had to come eventually. He fed and led more than he sheared, but shearing had to come. I didn't look it up. I don't know how many times a year he shears sheep, but it has to be. Sheep don't like that. It's kind of painful. But yet, in order to get the full usage of sheep, they must be sheared. And that's the job of the shepherd. That's the job of the shepherd. And a shepherd must do that. And the sheep, when it's done, and that weight. You ever seen a picture of a sheep right before they shear them? I mean, they get plumb woolly. No pun intended. They get plumb woolly looking. And I imagine that mats them and weights them, and they don't realize it until they're sheared and it's gone. How much freer they are. How good that feels. You know, back when I was growing up, you know, money was scarce, and I get haircuts every 2 weeks now. He said, preacher, you need to let your hair grow out. Now, I'll leave your head alone, you leave mine alone. But I remember when I was growing up, it may be 6 weeks. I mean, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and I'm talking about the 70s now. When you're 70, you're on, your hair gets in your eyes. You boys that like that, something wrong with y'all. Come on, man. You know you ain't. Hey, that's aggravating. Or somebody talking to you, can't even see their eyes. But you didn't realize that because it growed over time. But then you get a fresh cut. Whew, I got 20/20 vision again. I can actually, it feels better. Feels better. It's easy to manage. Ladies, I mean, us men don't like to have to manage our head either. That's why I get my hair cut every 2 weeks. My barber will say, she'll say, hey, 4 weeks? I said, no, 2 weeks. I don't want this stuff to get in my eyes. My wife and daughter tells me, you can't say, I don't know if it, I hope it's not a bad word. I don't know if it is or not. Don't call us bougie anymore the way you do. That wasn't an ugly word. Well, I don't even know what it means. I need to look words up before I say them, don't I? But however, it gives you better sight. Gives you a better feel. Easily, man, God's giving me this stuff right here. Anyway, hey, it makes it just a few weeks better. Then you know what? I got to go back. And the same spiritual connotation goes, we all need it. When I go to meetings, I don't seek out preachers that's going to pat me on the head. I want to go, when I go to somebody's meeting, I want to go hear a preacher that's going to preach to me. When we bring preachers in here, I want preachers that are going to preach to us. Not get up here and do a sideshow. I don't need a puppet show. I don't need a comedy hour. I need preaching. Amen. I need preaching. And folks, don't get upset when it's time to shear, because we all need it. We need fed and led more, but we need shearing when it's time. We need to remember, God has set a standard for God's people. Not only do I don't want to embarrass the name of Christ, but I want to embarrass my church and my preacher. Amen. You know, be careful what you allow people to see of flesh of yours, because then you're going to try to witness to them. Then they're going to ask you what church you go to. Wow, I've had this happen to me. I don't know how many times in the last almost 28 years. I can't believe you go there. And that preacher puts up with that. I can't believe he's not said anything. Hey, don't judge me, Hoss. I say it. They just don't care. We ain't going to pout tonight. So we see the conception that was painful. We see the confession that was prayer. For David is sincerely confessing. Amen. But let's go to the third one. Look at verse 16, 17 with me. We see the contrition that was powerful. The conception that was painful, the confession that was prayerful, and the contrition. Y'all hang on, well, that's a good word. It's a Bible word that was powerful. Look at verse 16, 17 of the text. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. Listen. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Listen now. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of what David's saying here. Just like Saul, King Saul, God despised his sacrifice because he wasn't obedient. And it didn't break his heart either. It didn't break Saul's heart that he disobeyed God. He feared the people and he didn't fear God. Man, That's T-bone steak right there. That's where Christians are. A lot of Christians are. They are more afraid of being criticized by their family, by their friends. They fear that more than they fear God. But yet they tried to appease God with other sacrificial things, and God said, I despise that. I despise it. And here's what God said he don't despise. A broken and a contrite heart is what he don't despise. God does not despise a broken and a contrite heart. He don't despise that. What are you trying to say? We'll get to as many verses as I can. The Bible is very clear. Listen to this. You won't want to mark this. The Bible is very clear that God has pity on a person that has a contrite heart. Amen. Don't panic. I didn't know what contrite meant either until one day I looked it up. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. A contrite heart is broken or bruised. Brokenhearted for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. That's good. The Lord said, those that it bothers, I'll have pity on. Those that it bothers, I will have pity on them. Not bothered they got caught, bothered that they did it. The very moment that sin is committed, the Holy Spirit of God is grieved and it breaks your heart. Stop using 1 John 1:9 as a way to live in sin. God despises that. God despises that. He despises that in my life and in your life. He despises it. But what he don't despise is a contrite heart. A bruised or a broken heart. A broken heart for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorrow for having offended God. That's what he don't despise. Let me tell you something, folks. And I say this, the Spirit of God is speaking to me. He's speaking to me as I preach. You preachers know what I'm talking about. Sunday school teachers know what I'm talking about. One of the problems your prayers not being answered is you're not brokenhearted over your sin. I tried to quote this morning, a part of the message, but I want to read this. The problem is not with God's ability to forgive. The problem is with people not being broken over their sin. The problem is not with God's ability to forgive sin. The problem is with people not being broken over their sin. That's the problem. God's people, that's the problem. I don't know why I can't get this right. I can't get this answer. Can't get that answer. This ain't working. Hey, if you know you're born again, say, Lord, my problem is this. I am simply not looking at sin like you do. I'm simply not understanding exactly what you did for me the day you saved me. And I have no concern because I'm more interested in me and what I'm personified as hurting you, than hurting you. But no, please don't answer this out loud, but is anybody there? The problem is not with God's ability to forgive sin. The problem is with people not being broken over their sin. A couple of good things. God can revive the contrite heart. What do you mean? Isaiah 57 verse 15, the Bible says this. Listen to it. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also. Listen, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. See, the Lord has pity on them, then he has pardon on them. You really get broken over your sin, God will show you mercy. You really get broken over your sin, God will show you mercy. He said he would. God, help me. Lord, help me. Not only will he revive the contrite, but he'll also save the contrite. Now, he's talking about unsaved. Psalm 34:18, the Bible says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." You understand, there's people that know they're lost and the Spirit is dealing with them. Then they see all the mess they've made in their life and they lose hope that God will ever forgive them and cleanse them. I talked to a man one time. He was as faithful a church attendee as anybody we've ever had. And me and a lot of the Brother Jerry, I witnessed to him, talked to him. Now, I personally believe that he got saved before he died. Because I talked to him and went through the plan of salvation. And he said, well, let me back up before this. His wife had passed away. And we had served them a meal. We used to serve their meals at home. We still do that sometimes too if somebody desires it. But I went to pick up dishes. And he sat on the front porch, just me and him. And, you know, when somebody dies, you have a lot of people there all the time. But that morning, I knew he got up early. So I was there at 8, 9 o'clock. I can't remember what it was. And he was sitting on the porch, and that gave me an opportunity to talk to him again. And he sat on the porch, teary-eyed. And I called his name, and I said, "Why don't you give in and get saved?" His wife had a testimony of her salvation. She was ready to go. Sweet woman. And I thought a lot of him. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to paint an ugly picture of him. I'm just saying, boy, his wife was ready. And he looked up at me with sad eyes and said, "I've been too mean." And before I could get it out, he got up and walked in the house and left me standing in front outside. Not haughty, not mad. He just got up, went in the house. Well, in the stretch of time, when the Lord opened the door, I'd go visit and tell the people. And I went through it all. And he said, "I did all that." But for some reason, he couldn't accept that God forgiven him for all that. And I thought, how sad. And you try to explain God's mercy. I don't know. You know, I've heard things, and you don't know. I don't know what all his life consisted of before, his younger days. I've heard things. And whatever it was, he would not get a hold of the fact that God would cleanse it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, and somebody may be watching. I don't care what you did. I don't care how you lived. I don't care how deep your sin and sins went. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Zero. There is nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus, and it will wash and cleanse your heart. Amen. David prayed repeatedly for God to cleanse him, and God did. And God will cleanse you. I'm going to read, and again, I'm going to 1 John, and I know you know your Bible, but I think we need to be reminded. 1 John 1, starting in verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, that's S-I-N, speaking of a sin nature. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the prayer of confession for the believer. That's the prayer of cleansing for the saved. That is not a license to sin. God's people, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, he'll be grieved when you sin. And you may be able to go back to where you come from or what you were doing and your lifestyle before you got saved, but your inward man will never let you enjoy it. It'll never happen. But if you can go back and enjoy it, the Holy Spirit never moved in. But folks, can I say something to you today, Christian? God can cleanse you. But you've got to come clean for God to clean you. Are you listening to me? You've got to come clean, not to me. This was a conversation, Psalm 51, between God and David, not God and Nathan, the prophet, not God and the congregation. Now, I understand some things that's been done publicly, some have to be dealt with publicly. But when it comes to getting cleansed from sin, you don't go before anybody but God. You may have to ask someone to forgive you. You may have to ask the church to forgive you. You may have to ask the preacher or somebody to forgive you as far as bringing a reproach upon the things of God. But your sin gets cleansed by God alone. Your sin gets forgiven by God alone, not by man. So God is ready to cleanse you, but you got to come clean. Until David come clean, he couldn't get cleansed. You with me? Until David come clean with his sin, he couldn't get cleansed. But when he did, and his heart got broke over it, God said, I don't despise that at all. I'm going to touch that. Aren't you thankful for it? See, folks, pride is a work of the flesh, and we all battle it. You say, preacher, I don't have a pride problem. That proved to me you do. You don't think you got a pride problem? Let somebody rebuke you over something. Your whole spirituality goes out the window if you're not careful. If you're not careful. Next thing you know, you're in an argument. Next thing you know, you got your finger in somebody's face. What's happening? Pride. Boy, it's a booger. I'm just telling you, confess your fault. Well, I'm confessing sin to you. It's a booger. Oh, I don't have a pride issue. Let somebody get the better of you in an argument. Especially your wife. And you try to come up with something, and all you can do is blah, 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 blah. And you hear you just mad because I proved you wrong. Pride. Some of you men, back me up. It was a day in my life, in my Christian life, preachers preach on standards. And I even got in such a rebellious state as a teenager. I'd done just embarrassing things. that I had to apologize for later. That preacher get up and preach against rock music, knowing I had 400 watts of stereo power. I had speakers lined up in that back thing. And it got a hold of my pride. Pride as a teenager. And I went by his house doing 1.5 miles an hour, cranked it up. Def Leppard. Windows down, waving at them. That's pride, man. Rebellion. God took me to the woodshed, buddy. Whew. Beat the daylights out of me. We all battle flesh. We all have issues. We must be on guard. David let his guard down. And he got in sin and needed to be cleansed. Now, I'm not categorizing sin, but folks, anything that displeases the Lord, anything that God said no to and you do it, is a sin of commission. Anything you don't do, God said do, is a sin of omission. Sins of commission and omission. Sin. You know how God tells a Christian to present themselves, to look and to dress and act, and you do the opposite? You're in sin. Getting mad at truth is pride, it's sin. Hey. If a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart already. That's sin. That's right. Well, I ain't do nothing. The Bible took it another step. Right. See, we under grace. Yeah. Law condemned the act. Grace condemns the thought. Amen. Grace requires a lot too, buddy. Preacher, you come out slinging tonight. We need cleansing. We need cleansing. Can't have revival till we get cleansed. We can't get our prayer answered till we get cleansed. Hey, you burdened over sin or you lost loved ones. Hey, God ain't going to hear it till you get cleansed. You got a need. You want to see God do something. He ain't going to do it till we get cleansed. Husbands, if you're not doing what God told you to do as a husband, you got to get that clean. You got to get that right. Well, wives, same thing. Children, same thing. Come on now, things you don't think about. Things you think nothing of. If God said, don't do it or do it, and you're doing the opposite, we got to get cleansed. Hey, God said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the matter of some is. Hey, if we're forsaking it, I don't mean to take a politician's slogan, but let's make Sunday sacred and superior again. We go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. We're not doing it. We need cleansing. We work around. Brother Bud's devotion this morning, man, I backed it all the way. We don't do other stuff on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. Preacher, I like it. I'm leaving. I don't want you to leave. God knows my heart. But folks, I'm going to give a count. And hey, I'm going to say something to you too. Well, come on, Courtney. I'm going to say something to you too. We better get our prayer life in tune for many reasons. But this one, folks, y'all realize in the last couple of years, we probably had 30 people saved or more. That means Satan has lost that many. Do y'all think he's given us a pass from attack? Oh, he's figuring it out. And every day it crosses my mind. I don't dwell on it, but it crosses my mind. What's the devil going to do? We better be praying. Quit worrying about what your flesh is appearing to be. We better get it serious on our face and beg God a hedge around this place. I know churches that had weeks revivals and within 3-6 months they split and the church is gone. The devil got in it. See, people get saved. We see it. We better. Hey, the only thing we can do is put the whole armor of God on and pray. And I'm urging church, listen, we better do it together. But we got to get flesh out of the way. We got to get cleansed. God help me. Amen. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed. Altar's open. I need to pray. I got to pray. I'll be back with you.